Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome. I hope you're very well. This is the Design and Marketing Podcast with Rob Cubbon. That's Rob Cubbon from robcubbon.com. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode. I think you're going to love it. I've got the go-to person to go to with all things freelance creative. So if you want to know how to look for work, if you're a freelance creative, a freelance web designer, freelance graphic designer, or freelance illustrator, then this is the episode for you. I have Alex Mathers on the line. Alex is the man behind the redlemonclub.com, which many of you will know. It's a blog for helping freelance creatives in every possible way. And he's a great man to talk to. I really enjoyed our little chat. But first, I need your help. I have a little question. I'm talking about courses. Courses online and courses live. I have an idea in my head that I'd like to give a course sometime in central London, and I want to know how many of you would be interested in that. And if so, what sort of course would it be? Would it be a newbie or an expert thing? Would it be WordPress? Would it be Photoshop or web design? Would it be about marketing yourself online, social media, SEO? What sort of things would you be interested in a course that you would attend to in London? What sort of time frames would you be interested in? And this would be central London, of course. And maybe a course in London wouldn't interest you at all, but would you be interested in an online course of any description? So that's just a little question that I thought I'd put out to you. And of course, you can contact me at the usual place at robcubbon.com if you so wish. But now I'm going to hand over to my interview with Alex. I hope you enjoy it. Here's Alex Mathers. I'm really, really delighted to speak to you. But first thing I want to ask you is the first question I ask everyone, and that is, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from, I would say, London in the UK. I mean, I've been all over the world, and I don't really have a concept of where I'm from exactly, which is always very confusing for me. But I always tell people that I'm from London. But I'm basically from the UK. I've got an Austrian mother and an English father, so if that might clarify things. But I'm basically English.
Yeah, you say basically English, but you are a human being from the planet Earth in the way that you've moved around even in your childhood, which must have been fantastic experience for you.
That's true. I was very lucky to have a diplomatic father who enabled me to sort of follow him around, country hopping from place to place. For example, we were in Sweden and we were in Barbados and Jamaica and very lucky to see all those countries at an early age. It was great.
Yeah, it really must have been. And it's such an interesting time as well. And to explain to my listeners, you are, I would suggest that you wear many hats, but I would suggest your first description, a professional description, would be as an illustrator. Would that be correct?
Yep, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
But, as I say, you wear many hats, and one of the hats you wear is your redlemonclub.com site, where I have signed up to your email list, and I've got to say, I must have signed up to that in 2009.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I still am a member. I'm still receiving the emails from you, and I haven't unsubscribed yet.
That's fantastic.
That is really fantastic.
Thank you for bearing with me for so long.
Well, it That's hasn't brilliant. Been a case of bearing with you, Alex. It's, you know, I unsubscribe from the best lists out there. Reason I still subscribe to your list, because it's great advice for freelance creatives. And that's what redlemonclub.com is all about.
Yeah, I always made a point about it being specifically aimed towards the creative folk. So that's the kind of the focus that I've tried to keep, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, the emails have been fantastic over the years. I mean, they've been great in this field of trying to get clients, basically.
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it, when it comes to to kind of surviving as a creative person, especially one who's on his own or independent or freelance. It's all about, just at the end of the day, is getting the clients in, and that's the key thing, and that's what I've been focusing on, really.
Yeah. And you know, that is what, if there's one question I get asked all the time, is how do you find clients? But should we go back to your life story, and so you can tell us how you started to find clients? And that's a very interesting answer in your case as well.
Well, actually, to start with, I didn't study illustration. I didn't study any design. I went straight into geography straight after school, and I did that at the University College London, and found myself not really knowing what the heck to do with geography after that, because it's such a broad subject, covers so many things. I found myself kind of at a bit of a loss. So I thought back to many periods in my childhood when I really enjoyed drawing and designing, and I kind of got back into putting together illustrations just on the side for a bit of pocket money, for a bit of fun. And this, it was through a royalty-free website called iStock Photo that kind of allowed me to really focus on developing a style and uploading work to kind of really channel my idea of where I saw my work going. So it was through iStock Photo that really kind of let me into that industry and gave me an excuse to get involved in that.
Yeah,
it was through that site that people started taking notice of the stuff that I was putting on it, and clients found me through that site.
That is a really remarkable story, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have submitted work to iStock Photo, and everyone uses I use iStock, and I'm sure lots of people do on a day-to-day basis. But to finding it as a medium to finding work is quite rare.
It was a good 6 or 7 years ago when I first signed up, and it would have meant that there was less competition at the time, I suppose. But it still took a bit of hard work. It took about a year of uploading continuous work to get any response.
Yeah, and that's a good piece of advice for anything that you do. I think you know, if, whether you're doing YouTube, a blog, Facebook, or anything, in order to get your brand out there, it's not something you do for a few weeks and see if it works or not. It really is a long term thing, and you had this long term thing with iStock as well. That's very interesting, but. Also, I've got to ask you, at the same time, you must have learnt yourself, you must have taught yourself Illustrator.
I did. I used lynda.com, which is a great training site for all kinds of software and things specifically towards the creative industries as well. And I used the videos on that to train myself in about 2 or 3 weeks how to use the fundamentals of Illustrator. Wow. And from then I just sort of used very, very few of the pieces of the software to kind of keep training and keep building up a style.
Did you find it hard in those early days to marry up your learning of the Illustrator on one side and you wanting to create a certain look on the other? Did you find it frustrating at times?
I'm not sure I saw it frustrating. It was always an enjoyable experience, I think, to see some kind of a style evolving, especially with the feedback I'd get online and friends and family, especially giving me good feedback. I mean, it was fun to see something evolve from that. I don't think it was that frustrating, because everything was just new to me. Everything was a learning experience, and I don't remember it being difficult in any way.
No, that's interesting. It was frustrating for me. I think probably because you did such a crash course on Lynda for 2 weeks, and I remember it taking years for me to
learn. I remember having a very, very distinct idea in my head as to what I wanted to go for, because there were certain artists that I really liked the look of, and I kind of went down the route of trying to emulate their style on a sort of loose basis, and it gradually evolved into the style that I've created. So it was, I wasn't completely clueless as to where I was going. I think that helped. I had an idea in my head of what I wanted. So.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good point again about style, about finding it, especially for an illustrator, but also for graphic designers and web designers, is to somehow find a voice or a look or a style that is special to you, that you I think it's extra especially important for illustrators and people in your field. And yeah, actually, I mean, you can see... I should mention at this point that you have another site where it's a better place to look at your illustration work, and it's Ape on the Moon, is it? Or what's it called?
Yeah, Ape on the Moon is one of my blogs, which is... It's a sort of platform for promoting the work of other artists that me and a friend put together that we like the look of. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not my work, but it's other people's.
Right, right. But I always think that you, with your illustrations, you can sort of tell it's Alex Mathers.
That's good. That's what I was aiming to get to, some kind of a recognisable style, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there definitely is a particular look there. So anyway, I didn't want to go too far down the illustrator route. I want to get you back onto the finding clients route. Because there's been just so much value that I've got from signing up to that list at Red Lemon Club. I also really recommend a couple of your free ebooks. And the first from a while back, I mean, well, this is when I read them. I don't know when they came out. But the first one is 9 Must Do's book. Is that still available on your site?
It's still the book that I give away for free when you do sign up for the mailing list. Yeah, so it's still there.
Right. Well, that is really worth a read, because it really takes you through, and it's not just for illustrators. But it is very much for creative types. And if you just read the chapter titles, they're just, you know, find your market, find out where your clients are hanging out. Find out what...
It gets quite obscure. It talks about things like find out sort of how far into the careers of your potential clients they've gone and how to kind of adapt your marketing strategy to that. I mean, but it's still very core. It's still very basic. It's 9 things that I think everyone should know before knowing anything else when it comes to clients.
No, it's really interesting, because it's 9 things that a lot of people won't do, and I want to be a graphic designer, and they'll just jump in there.
Yeah.
Which was probably my fault in my early days.
Same with me, I would have thought. Yeah.
Well, yes.
To realise the importance of it, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really good read, but I've also read Promo 3.0.
Yeah.
And is that available? Is that now available on Amazon, or is it still available?
Yeah, it's initially available just through Red Lemon Club, but now it's available as a Kindle book.
Right, on Amazon, yeah. right. That's fantastic. So now we're in 2013. The game has changed somewhat. I'm always thinking that what worked for me in 2006 is very much different to what might work now for people who are maybe starting out now, or maybe been going for 2 or 3 years as a creative online. So what would you advise someone new to finding work online, or who is finding work online now, and maybe had been doing it for 2 years? What would your advice now be?
Well, I would suggest to anyone to really consider the idea of not really trying to sell yourself. It's not about selling anymore. It's about really going out and sort of forging real one-on-one friendships with people who are potentially could use your value as someone who's providing value. So it's about, the first thing is providing a quality product. That's the key thing. You need to have a product that is striving towards excellence and is of good value and is of interest. That's the key thing. But when it comes to the actual promoting of that product, I think things have changed. It used to be a case of just selling to anyone and everyone who would happen to glance upon that product. But nowadays, it's really about knowing your target market and kind of tailoring your kind of strategy towards that person and building friendships and providing value. It's all about value.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And I think education is a big part of the value. I think if you can teach people about what it is you do as well, it's so much the better.
That's it.
But could we drill into that maybe? And you think of a hypothetical web designer in London who's looking for clients. Could you walk us through what should he or she be doing? What sort of people should he be communicating with in terms of relationships? Not necessarily clients, but this non-selling information giving strategy.
Yeah.
What could you give us a few ideas for that just quickly?
Well, I think it's sort of, there are many things that contribute to having a very, to having a successful and efficient promotional strategy. The first being having a good product, having a product that people will actually want to use. And that involves not only having, you know, having good skills and even talent and a good eye for design, but also just providing a very good service that they kind of, you know, you're tailoring to the customer. You're providing a strong, solid, useful and friendly service. So that's the key thing. That's one element of my promo 3.0 idea, although it's not a new idea. It's just my kind of concept of it. And the second thing would be to understand really, really more than you'd think your potential client or customer. So that person who's going to come along and use your service, you need to understand who that person is, what their interests are, what their fears are, all the things you probably wouldn't even think of. And when you can get into their shoes, then you've got a real advantage over other people who just kind of sell and don't have an idea of who their customer is. If you understand the client, then you're at a real advantage. So that's really the key thing. And once you know who your target market and your target person is, more specifically that person, you can then go out and reach out to them and discuss or display the potential value that you have for them, and then that's when they kind of click.
Yeah, I mean, as you were saying earlier, you know, the product is all important. You know, I mean, some I was reading the other day, somebody saying that the best marketing is a great product, and they were using an example of a betting website which didn't have any marketing to it. But it was an absolutely fantastic product, and everyone wrote about it, and they gave it out for free to a few people. But the fact was that if it wasn't a good product, the marketing wouldn't have been any good because nobody would have said anything about it. So if you're a website designer and you create great websites, then your clients are going to tell their friends, basically.
I mean, if you've got a really, really interesting, really far out, unique product that is amazing, you could get by without doing any promotion at all, theoretically.
Yeah.
But nowadays, there's so much competition, and it's very, very difficult to truly stand out. But it obviously takes a little bit of extra marketing to push that hopefully good product.
Indeed. I think that's where I've been for a few years. I mean, maybe not having the best web design skills in the world, but coupling that with a great enthusiasm and great marketing is good as well.
It doesn't come down to just one thing, that's the thing.
Yeah.
There are several parts, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to move on a bit now to the rest of the world. As we're both in London, I think we should branch out a little bit. And I've got to ask you, because another lovely thing you get when I receive your emails is that I kind of know what part of the planet you're on. And a lot of them from at least the last year, maybe 2012, have been from Japan.
That's it, yeah.
And you've just come back from Japan, a year or more in Japan. And
I was there for 9 months.
9 months.
It's, this time last year, I was I still hadn't made the decision to even go there. So it took took a couple of months to make the decision and actually decide to go and move.
That is quite quick, though.
A quick turnaround, yeah.
Yeah. So, you're probably going to be off some.
The beauty of freelancing is that I have that flexibility, which is fantastic.
Yes. So, what made you want to go to Japan? And first of all,
well, I had been there twice before, so I already knew that it was a place that I liked and was really fascinated in, and loved the people and the language and the culture. And I had sort of itchy feet, and I was sitting on my desk sort of thinking of things that I could be doing this year, which is last year, and now that I'm freelance, I have the ability to work anywhere. I'm practically footloose, so I decided to just, why not go for it and go somewhere as far away as Japan for an extended period? So I just upped and went.
Why not, indeed? And explain in 5 minutes, how was your 9 months in Japan?
In 5 minutes? Well, it was... Yeah, it was interesting. It was a bit of a culture shock. I mean, obviously, for the initial couple of weeks where you literally did not know anyone and didn't know any language, and it was all very new. It was quite a shock to the system. But it's all possible. Having been through it, it's so refreshing to know that it's if you can break yourself away from all these things that we think are so important, from from home and just make the move. It's doable. And I recommend it to anyone who has the inclination to want to go traveling. It's much easier than you think.
Yeah, so. I definitely agree with that. And I hope to be going away a bit this year myself. But I mean, everyone says that in terms of culture shock, so I have lived in other parts of the world, but I've made sure the culture shock has been at its minimum. A lot of people say about Japan that its culture shock is at the max in terms of talking to people, meeting people, different culture and what have you. And how what on earth did you learn about yourself? It's another difficult question for 5 minutes. What did you learn about yourself and working and communicating with people and life in general?
Well, I learned that it's possible. Like, it's not this kind of distant idea that is never going to be reached in your lifetime. The ability to go to somewhere where they don't even speak your language, and to get by and to go shopping and to feed yourself and to survive at its very basic level is all possible. And then you can go beyond that by making some fantastic friendships, finding new clients, even in countries where they don't even speak the language, and to be inspired in a way that it's fantastic.
Yeah, so I think the nature of the difficulties, the fact that it is so out there and so difficult, makes the little wins that you had, like being able to find yourself pasta for dinner and
absolutely right.
You know, you think oh wow, I managed to get away with that with my Japanese. I found this thing that I was looking for. It's a real sort of achievement. Right. You know,
it's about pushing out of that comfort zone, which is the key thing. It's just you realize that you can do things you never thought you could do. Even the small things, as you say, they teach you so much.
Yeah.
I think any experience of pushing out of your comfort zone, especially when you go traveling somewhere that's new to you, I think that there's a sense of aliveness that comes with that, a sense of really kind of being stuck in and doing something different. And there's a lot of value in that in terms of feeling motivated to actually do more work. I felt myself being much more productive because even though I had all these distractions of being in a different country, I had the kind of sense of aliveness that came with being in Japan. It pushed me to create new, different work as well as just be more productive. I thought there was a lot of value in that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested that it helped your work as well. I've got another sort of Japanese-related question, although I'm not sure how Japanese-related it is. But right. I read somewhere that you meditate daily. Do you still practice meditation, or is it something that you do occasionally
daily? I mean, I once wrote in a post that I recommended daily meditation as a means to sort of get more creatively productive, but I never said that I did it every day, although I've been trying to much more recently. I didn't do much in Japan, but I have been trying to do more regular meditation whilst here, and I have been sticking to it actually somehow.
Oh, that's good.
So a day, yeah.
Yeah, sorry to misquote you there, obviously.
That's all right. Well, maybe I...
No, knowing me, it was probably me that jumped to that conclusion.
But it's a good point. It is an important thing to do, I think.
Yes.
Having felt the results, it's great.
Yes. Oh, well, see, I was going to ask you, you were talking about pushing your boundaries out in Japan... And now you're back in London, which is one of the easiest city to live in if you're an English speaker. Although it has its problems as well. It's a difficult city to live in some respects. And when you've just come, actually, it's a difficult city to live in if you've been abroad as an English person. If you've been abroad and you come back here, that can be a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, a lot of friends who had been living in Japan for a long time, who had been back to England back and forth, had sort of warned me in advance that actually coming back to London was more of a culture shock than going to Japan in the first place. I don't know. I felt a bit of a shock on maybe day one, but it wasn't massive. Maybe I wasn't away long enough to feel that. But
okay,
it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, next question obviously would be, what's next for Alex Mathers then?
Well, I always make a point of really trying to focus on one thing at a time, and it's very easy for me to get kind of bogged down in so many different ideas and different projects. But I think for this year, I really want to make a point of focusing on just developing Red Lemon Club and making it more well known and sort of make it reach as many creative types as possible and begin sharing more learning resources, as many learning resources as possible to help the fellow freelance creative. So it's all about Red Lemon Club at the moment.
All right. Well, that's good because that is my area. I don't think there's a lot out there. There's not a lot. I mean, there's certainly room to have more quality out there in terms of helping creatives find work online.
There's a lot of stuff geared towards businesses in general and freelancing, but not so much creative. Focused, yeah.
No, honestly, because that's what I found in my... Because I could have carried on writing how to do such and such in Photoshop how to do this, how to do that. And I found writing about how to find work and how to deal with clients, I found more feedback from that from my visitors.
I can get a lot of good feedback from my side as well. I think there is a gap in the market there, or a gap in the way people need to use the content.
Absolutely. So more from Red Lemon Club. Well, I'm delighted to hear that because I'm a big fan. So Alex, thanks a lot for speaking to me. I've got one final question. We've been talking about it a lot, but where can people find you if they want to find you?
I think the first port of call, if you're interested in finding about information geared towards creative freelancers and sort of the execution side of work and business and so on, would be my site, redlemonclub.com. It's just redlemonclub.com. And my own personal site is alexmathers.net, which has all my illustration work on there. And if you're interested in contemporary art and illustration, Ape on the Moon is the other option, apeonthemoon.com.
Yeah, Ape on the Moon. I'll repeat that because I think Skype clicked out at that point.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
But I'll obviously put all your websites underneath the video when it's online.
Brilliant.
So thanks a lot, Alex. It's really a pleasure for me to talk to you after all these years. And thanks for all the newsletters you've put out on the past for helping us freelancers. And I love it. I love it when they came through the inbox because it's the only one it's actually branded. And I thought, why is he branding it when nobody else bothers? And and I've got that colour, that red colour is instilled in my mind.
It's the colour that was meant to be memorable. So
it's a corporate colour, and it's a good corporate colour for you. So don't ever change.
My pleasure. Well, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, Alex. And thank you again, Alex Mathers from redlemonclub.com. I really would advise anyone listening to get along to redlemonclub.com and sign up. At least sign up to the email list, for which you'll get a free ebook, and read the free ebook that you get from that. So thank you very much for your company for this episode of the Design and Marketing Podcast. Thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you for the comments on the blog. It's been great this last few weeks, and Facebook's really kicking off. Very strange URL on Facebook. That's facebook.com/robcubbon.com written out in all one word. Yes, I do have a problem with URLs, but not to worry. Thank you very much for your company, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.